Okay.
It's not working.
It worked a minute ago.
It did. It worked a minute ago. I guess I don't have internet connection anymore. Let's reload this. It didn't work. Okay, make it go back to the search and I'll say it. Iatrogenic.
Here's the definition of iatrogenic, relating to illness caused by medical examination or treatment.
Yeah, more people die from that than they do of war.
Which is pretty pitiful.
Pretty pitiful.
Because people run to their doctors to get cured and end up dead instead.
We should be our own doctors.
Pretty much.
You're not likely to kill yourself or choose to kill yourself.
Yeah, you know your body better than anybody else, honestly. You know, now you may not know what to do about your condition, but you know your body better than anybody else. And so if you experiment with this herb or this medicine or that medicine, you're more likely to hit on the thing that helps you than some doctor who went to a school and was told that this is the cure, and he didn't do any experiments to find out for himself. He just assumed that his lecturer knew what he was talking about. So any ignorance that the lecturers teach gets compounded because the next generation teaches the same crap and then some more crap and then some more crap, and next thing you know, it's nothing but crap.
It's nothing but crap. Yeah. Not only that, but how long does the doctor spend with you to actually diagnose your problem?
That's true.
They just herd you through like cattle. They don't know you. They don't know your problems. Now, you can consult the doctor for their, you know, professional expertise, but, you know, you should still make the final decision and doctor yourself. You can consult them, but don't let them be your doctor.
Right.
All right, it's 10 o'clock. We're going to call Blog Talk Radio.
Set of your plan and will incur a 1 cent per minute charge if you continue. You can hang up now to avoid the charge.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN. When finished, press the pound key.
To start your show now, press 1. To hear important
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the free food and medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast, where we talk about God's medicine and how to avoid iatrogenic disease.
Yeah. And tonight we're talking about yet another herb that we cannot grow locally.
But last week we were talking about herbs that repair DNA. Now, we may not be able to grow or find it in the wild or on our land here in Zone 7, but you, our listener, may, depending on where you live in the world.
It's a tropical plant, so I guess that'd be, you know, what, Zone 12 and above? I don't know.
Well, we're talking about two herbs today. We're talking about cat's claw and watercress.
Watercress. Okay.
So we'll start with cat's claw. In the Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide book, written by Marcus Rothkranz. You want to read? I'll let you.
Sure. I'm in a well-lit space this time. I could actually read.
All right. We'll start with watercress.
All right.
I can already tell you it's good for gout, and we seem to have a gout epidemic lately.
Can I turn this light on by any chance?
Perhaps.
Perhaps not. All right. I am not going to read the scientific name.
Oh, come on. You made me do it.
Watercress. Nasturtium officinal.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That seems wrong, but okay. Anyway, strong superfood and medicine. White flowers and seed pods in spiral staircase formation. Flowers, four petals in shape of cross. A mustard family. Oh, it's in the mustard family. Four petals with six stamens, four tall, two short. Seeds can be crushed and used as mustard, almost always near water. Leaves resemble feather. I'll pause the reading for a second. An example of watercress I saw was actually growing in the water under a waterfall. So it was most of the plant was above water, but it was very happy to be growing in the shallow edges of this pool. Okay. Bean-like fruit, wash and dry before eating to eliminate undesirable organisms from water environment. Fresh pressed juice used for tuberculosis, chest, lung, kidney, gland, lymph, and chronic skin issues. For canker sores, mouth blisters, acne, ringworm, rash, skin infections, hot flashes, headaches, nervousness, eczema, dermatitis, excellent for cleaning fluids in body tissue like gout, cleaning mucus and lung congestion, bronchitis, cough, asthma, high blood pressure, hemorrhoids, rheumatism, chest congestion, ringworm, fungus, helps break up kidney and bladder stones. I didn't know you could have a bladder stone.
Gallbladder stones, basically.
Okay. Well, maybe. I don't know. Anyway. Good for liver and kidney problems, helps protect against heart disease and eye diseases like cataracts, helps lighten freckles, and, well, now see, that's a bad point. Freckles are a good thing. Anyway.
Yeah, it depends on how many freckles you got.
Helps lighten freckles and brown spots when crushed and applied. Immune supplement.
Wait. Brown spots? Like age spots?
Yeah, like age spots.
Oh, okay. I have a essential oil blend that helps with age spots.
That's cool.
It helps with freckles, too.
All right.
Although I like freckles.
I like freckles. Ladies, if you got freckles, I like freckles.
Call us.
Yes, call us. Anyway, immune stimulant, antioxidant. Come on, I only got half an hour to read this. Come on.
Okay.
Increase energy, boost metabolism, enhance oxygen utilization, cleanses blood and colon, diuretic, mild laxative, cancer prevention. Watercress is packed with 15 essential vitamins and minerals. It has A, B1, B2, B3, B5, B6, biotin, C, D, and E. Very high in sulfur, calcium, iodine, iron, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, sodium, trace elements, vanadium, zinc,
vanadium?
Vanadium.
That's good for diabetes.
And bioflavonoids. Well, he started out by stating it was a superfood, and it sounds like it is. All right.
Well, vanadium is what the body uses to create insulin.
Weight for weight, it contains more vitamin C than oranges, more calcium than milk, more iron than spinach, more folic acid than bananas. The strong taste is from high sulfur content. Beautifies skin and complexion. Okay, so he's saying the sulfur content is good for your skin and your complexion. And a substance called phenol ethyl. I may have pronounced that wrong, but it's I'll spell it. It's phenylethyl. So I said phenol ethyl. Okay. Isothiocyanate. And that's abbreviated PEITC, which is able to block the function of a protein called hypoxia-inducible factor, which would be HIF. And I better spell the first word. That's HYPOXIA, inducible factor. Okay.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, me neither. I'll have to look into it. Which is needed for cancer to grow.
Oh, okay.
Molecular biologists at Purdue University in Indiana discovered that watercress could actually correct its genetic code if inheriting from flawed parents to grow normally again like its grandparents. The results described by researchers as spectacular defies the scientific law of inheritance and present the notion that the plant, unlike any other species, can effectively heal itself and maintain its pure ancestral blueprint. Another bitter plant aloe vera, also heals itself. Imagine the power if you took both of these. You can take any part of the plant, but put it in a container of water, and it will grow roots. Okay.
Maybe we should talk about aloe vera next week.
Yeah, possibly. Now, I have something to say. It's talking about it correcting its genetic code. Okay. You know what? I will tell you about this as the supplemental material. Okay. How much time do we have left to talk about the other? We've got another 20 minutes. You want to read the other, or do you want to speak about this a little bit?
Let me speak about it a little bit. We got, we can do 5 minutes on it.
Right. So, you know, it's, how can I say?
And then come back to it if we need to.
So watercress is clearly a wonderful plant, and it's in the mustard family. It grows in moist areas. I would note and his book didn't seem to mention this, where we found the watercress one of our favorite characters, Jerry Diamond, and I went down to visit some people, and they had lots of streams all over the place, and I found this watercress growing in a pool of water right underneath the waterfall, and the locals there said, you better have the water tested first before you go eating that, because a lot of people had septic tanks and stuff like that, and all the running water, occasionally the underground water would be contaminated with septic tank juice.
Mm.
All right. So it would be good, any patch of wild plants, check and see what's going on around first and make sure your ground's not contaminated, especially pools of water, before you go eating them. Just you know, kind of a common sense precaution.
Kind of like mushrooms.
Yes, I will not eat mushrooms grown in the city.
Unless you grow them yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. The reason I won't eat them in the city is because everybody and their neighbor uses lots of pesticides, insecticides, herbicides,
Roundup,
and fertilizers. And mushrooms soak poison out of the soil.
Right. They're like one of nature's first responders
to correcting soil condition. You know, by removing poisons. And all those things, as far as the plant world is concerned, are poisons, including the fertilizer.
Some of them.
Well, it depends on the nature of the fertilizer. But, you know, your chemical fertilizers are generally not really good.
Right.
All right.
They're only somewhat good.
They stimulate, most of them stimulate the productions of sugars and fibers. But they do not stimulate the production of nutrient-rich plants. And so your grass will look greener and it will stand up taller, but it's devoid of nutrients.
Yeah. So if you just happen to get your hands on some commercial chemical fertilizer, mix it in with your other natural organic fertilizer. Or, you know, compost it so that it goes back to its original source, if you will. Maybe grow some mushrooms in it and then turn around and compost the mushrooms. Make some compost tea out of it, putting manure and a bunch of other stuff in it. and then it'll actually make it a better fertilizer.
All right. Do you have anything else to say about?
Basically, we're talking about herbs that are supposed to help to repair DNA. Cat's claw, watercress, I guess, maybe even aloe.
Yeah, suggesting aloe. Yeah.
And jiaogalon, we talked about last week. Are herbs that will basically superfoods, super herbs that help to repair DNA. So just about any problem you have, these herbs should help. Go ahead.
All right, so I'm going to read cat's claw. We probably read it last week, didn't we? Or
no.
No, okay.
Maybe so, a hair.
Okay, well, it's very short, so, you know, we kind of, I know Kano did some studying on it. I don't know how much studying, but I saw he was watching a video about it. So hopefully he has a lot to say. Cat's claw. Una de gato.
Una rabato.
Una de gato. Gato being cat. I guess una one.
Una de gato. I say rabato.
Yeah, I don't know how that comes out, cat's claw, in English. But anyway, the scientific name is Uncaria tomentosa. I don't know.
Ingalawa, singalawa.
And an alternative scientific name for it would be Uncaria guyanensis.
And a guy's muscle.
That'd be G-U-I-A-N-E-N-S-I-S. And hopefully one of our listeners who likes to listen in and laugh at our mispronunciations is laughing her head off right now.
Yeah.
Okay. A rainforest wonder plant.
Yeah, it is a rainforest.
With all kinds of uses. It contains an alkaloid that helps white cell bloods eat bad stuff. It helps repair DNA, cleanse the intestinal tract, and heal all kinds of intestinal and digestive disorders such as ulcers, Crohn's disease, diverticulitis, leaky bowel syndrome, and colitis. It improves circulation by lowering blood pressure. Rich in antioxidants, polyphenols, and several plant steroids like, beta system, laugh away. I should be able to say this one, but I'm going to spell it to you. S-I-T-O-S-T-E-R-O-L. Effective for cardiovascular, heart health, and hormone imbalances like prostate swelling and PMS. It's also good for rheumatism, cancer, allergies, candida, genital herpes, herpes zoster. I've never heard of herpes zoster. I'll have to look that up. HIV, bladder infections, and environmental poisoning. A great all-purpose herb to have around. So, yes, it's a tropical plant, but, a lot of your house plants are actually tropical plants. People raise tropical plants all the time in their house.
True.
Right? So this potentially could be another one you add to your collection. It has a pretty yellow flower. It has these claws at the leaf junction that looks sort of like a cat's claw. I don't know how stiff they are, but they look like they're sharp and might be pointy. I don't know. I haven't touched one of these plants. It's entirely possible that they're soft and whatever. So I don't know. But they call it cat's claw because of those little hooks that it has at the leaf junctions. What do you know about it?
Well, I was going to say, the nice thing about these two herbs we're talking about, especially for the ladies, the watercress is good for women who are going through menopause, and the cat's claw is good for women who are going through PMS. So...
Yeah, I'm sure men go through similar things, so it probably helps them as well.
But yeah, guys, it's like whenever it first came out that calcium lessened the effects of PMS. There were droves of lines at the pharmaceutical industry. Or pharmacy, back when pharmacy actually sold more vitamins on a regular basis than
right.
They do pharmaceuticals. Way back when it first came out, there was lines at the pharmacy to get calcium. And guess how many? Guess who was the guess who was in the lines? Most of the people that were in the lines.
Women.
Men.
Men.
Yeah, to get the calcium for the women.
Oh.
Because it was for PMS.
Oh. Oh. Ouch.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, this is for the guys and the girls,
Right. Right. my woman's on the rag. Let's give her some calcium.
And cat's claw.
Right. That's bad. That's horrible.
But it's good at the same time. Because it's helping her to be healthy.
Well, yes. Yeah, anytime. Yeah, if you're, nowadays they take drugs.
It's helping her to be healthy and helping the relationship be healthy.
Right. Yeah. Nowadays, people take drugs to balance out their mood or mellow themselves out or flatten their mood, whatever.
And it only makes the problem worse.
Yeah, and it results in you being nutrient deficiency, and you get unhealthy, and you get sick. And
that being said, there are some herbs that do cause nutritional deficiencies, too. We were talking about that scenario yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, there are, what was the herb you was talking about that causes calcium deficiency? Oh, we was talking to our friend.
Right, I'm trying to remember.
And you were saying, take comfrey. But they say that comfrey causes problems with the liver, right?
Well, somebody said that, but...
So then you would take dandelion and thistle. That's true.
Yeah, having a well-balanced diet, which means trying lots and lots of different vegetables, not just the standard vegetables they sell you in the grocery store,
right,
would go a long ways toward balancing out your dietary needs and such. I can't remember specifically what Kano is talking about, but I do know we were talking about a horsetail.
Maybe that's what it was.
Well, horsetail is one that absorbs toxins out of the ground, but it's high in silicates, and the silicates help build bone matrix and the matrix of your teeth so you can regrow enamel. All right, most people are unaware of the fact that they regrow enamel, but you can regrow your enamel. You can actually get a cavity and grow back enamel over the top of the cavity so fast your dentist does not have a chance to fill the cavity.
Right. With lead.
Yeah, with lead and mercury. You know, like you need that in your head, you know?
Yeah. There's lead in your head.
Well, mercury. Mercury's even worse. Every time you chew, there's a cloud of mercury floating around. You know, they put a mercury amalgam in your mouth. Like, come on, you know? Anyway.
No, we need to figure out what herbs regrow teeth.
Well, the one I just mentioned is one. That's horsetail.
Horsetail.
It's a reed. There's several varieties of horsetail, and I don't remember the scientific name for it. I need to look it up. But the specific one you're looking for one is the one that doesn't branch. Now, all horsetail absorbs toxins from the soil, and as a result, you need to take a break.
Oh, right. Treat it like golden seal.
Yeah, you need to take a break from horsetail 1 week out of four. So you need to take it for 3 weeks, and then you take a break for a week so that your body has a chance to kick out all the toxins that you absorb from eating the horsetail. And the reason you want the one that doesn't branch, and I can't remember its scientific name, but you want the one that doesn't branch because it absorbs the least toxins from the environment.
Ah, okay.
All right. And so it's actually, you know, it's actually safer to take. But you still want to take a break from it.
Right.
To take a break from it. But it does have a lot of silicon in it. And that helps you build up the matrix of your bone and the matrix of your teeth so that you can regrow enamel. You know, and it's interesting. Your teeth have a very interesting structure to them. It's like a whole bunch of teeny tiny straws coming from – you ever wonder why your supposedly dead teeth where, you know, the enamel never grows and stuff like that, why in the world do you have a pithy center to your tooth that has nerve endings and lots of blood vessels?
Right.
Why do your teeth require nutrition? Well, it's because they're not dead. They're very much alive, and they push nutrients out using those tubes, those straws that go out from that center of that pithy center out to the very surface of your teeth. And you literally can grow new tooth enamel by those nutrients being pushed out to the edge of your teeth. And you know, it you know, your teeth can repair themselves, you know, to a limited degree. I mean, you chip your tooth and your tooth will always be chipped, but
maybe.
But it can grow over with new tooth enamel over that chip. And you know, after a while, it no longer feels raw. It's not because your tooth died. It's because it grew new enamel. Oh.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure what that meant.
Was that your phone?
And it was yours.
That was weird.
I think it was yours.
All right. We got 3 minutes remaining.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe that was the end.
Oh, no. It'll tell us. Yeah, 90 seconds remaining.
Well, I wonder if I can tell this story in 3 minutes. All right. So I said I was going to do a supplement, but maybe I'll do it here. All right. They're talking about the plant correcting its genetic code so it had the same genetic code as the grandparent. If it had two parents who had broken genetic code, it defied the laws of genetic inheritance. Well, they already know that plants and living organisms break the law of genetic inheritance because they did some experiments with some plants. They took some clones. They cloned these plants, so they're all genetically the same, and they had a test group, and then they had a group that they stressed. And they purposely stressed these plants, not to the point of death, but
90 seconds.
Okay. But to the point where they wilted. And then they, you know, they stressed them by withholding water. Okay, so they'd water them once they started wilting, and then they'd let them wilt again, and they'd water them again. And when all is said and done, they took the plants that they stressed, and they tested their genetics, and they took the clones that were not stressed, and they tested their genetics, and they found that the plants that they stressed had written new genetic code and added it to their sequence. And then when they tested the offspring from those plants, they found out that those plants inherited characteristics that allowed them to be drought resistant. In other words, by stressing them without killing them, the plant decided, I need some more genetic code. I need instructions for how to survive these circumstances. And they passed them on to their offspring.
There you go. So we're going to continue this podcast. You can listen to the rest of it at freefoodandmedicine.org as soon as I get done uploading it. So I'm a little behind on that, but I'm working on it. Okay. I guess that's
10
it.
Seconds.
All right. So I didn't quite get to the full point of that. So not only can plants repair their genetic code, they can actually write brand new genetic code to meet the circumstances that they're in. In other words, the genetic code is, as this one article in Free Food and Medicine pointed out, is a blueprint. It is not the controlling factor. It's, you know, when you build a house and for whatever reason the house didn't meet the exact blueprint, the carpenters still keep going on building. They just move a door over a little bit here or there. The blueprint does not build the house.
Right.
It's the instructions that the carpenter follows. And if for whatever reason the blueprint doesn't quite work, the carpenter adjusts.
He rewrites the genetic code.
He rewrites the genetic code and proceeds from there. You know? And, well, to be honest, he doesn't necessarily rewrite the genetic code. He may just do whatever, but
it's the same thing, basically.
But it would be nice if he went back to the blueprint and he scratched in what it is he did different, so that when you refer to the blueprint, you can see why what was different. All right. And that's what the genetic code is when the plant or the organism, whatever it is, plant, animal, whatever, took the time to encode what it did to solve a certain problem for future generations to refer to. But it's not the thing that actually controls the organism.
Right.
So that was kind of my point. But, you know, yeah, so having plants that repair your genetic code, I mean, you know, one of the things they've demonstrated, they did things to destroy, remove DNA from a cell without actually killing the cell, and the cell would continue to operate, continue to live without DNA until its internal organelles, its, you know, the structures inside that act as organs, until all of them broke down to the point where it could no longer continue processing sugars and building new parts and such like that. When it broke down too far and it had no instruction manual for building new stuff, then the cell would die. But it didn't die immediately just because the DNA was removed. It took a while. So again, the DNA is the actual controller. But if you can repair your DNA, that means you can pass on a perfected book to your offspring, which in the case of the cells in your body would be, you know, when your cells divide, your whole body benefits because those cells would then be able to pass on their discoveries to offsprings of their cells, of, you know, themselves inside your tissues.
Yeah, you're always hearing people say, oh, well, I inherited this disease.
Well, and that's actually kind of true, but it's not necessarily genetic. All right?
Right. You inherit genetic weaknesses.
Well, not even that. If you live in a family that eats nothing but potato chips and beer, you know, you're going to be a fat couch potato. And it's not going to be because your genes say you're going to be a fat couch potato. Right. It's because you inherited that bad habit.
Oh, that's it.
You know?
I think it's a little bit of both. But again, you know, if you when you get older, because like, I didn't know anything about health and nutrition growing up. Neither did my parents. My parents, basically, the only thing they knew was eat your veggies and take your Flintstone vitamins. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And
I bet you your Flintstone vitamins had
metallic minerals.
Yeah, calcium carbonate as your calcium source. Which some people can process, but most can't. Most people cannot process
that. Most people process 3 to 5% of it.
Yeah. So you have to eat a lot of limestone.
Children will actually process more than adults.
Yeah, you'd have to eat an awful lot of limestone to get enough to build your bones back. So.
And or take lots of magnesium to help you break it down.
Well, and that's actually easy
and fried
to get
vinegar.
A living vinegar, you know, Bragg's is just a good living vinegar.
Yeah.
Soak
your rock calcium in vinegar,
there you go,
and then you can drink it,
and then it becomes organic calcium as opposed to rock dust. All right.
And then
you can use it.
And then take magnesium with it. Because most people get enough calcium, but their body can't process it. And so you need more magnesium. You shouldn't be taking calcium supplements unless you really, really need calcium supplements. You should really be taking magnesium to help you process the calcium.
And actually, magnesium, there's a good, easy source of magnesium out there rather than taking tablets. It's called dark green leafy vegetables.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're growing your own spinach, You know, that's going to be high in magnesium.
And eating wintergreen.
Probably. Was that one of the nutrients listed? I'm pretty sure.
With the dark leafy. I don't know about watercress, but wintercress is a dark leafy.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, and that's also in the mustard family.
Yeah.
And actually, it looks very similar, but it's got a yellow flower, and it grows in fields where it's dry. So it likes the opposite environment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's also in the mustard family.
It's got yellow flowers. What color flowers did watercress have? White?
The book said white.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And the two plants look similar. It's just watercress is very juicy, almost succulent.
Right, because it's in water.
Yeah, and wintercress. I personally find wintercress bitter, but apparently, Kano, you don't?
It's bitter, but I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. I find it too bitter. I have a hard time eating it. I pointed it out to the Kano, and he liked it.
I guess so. That's your phone.
I think somebody's texting us or texting me or texting you.
My phone's turned off.
Okay.
So it's a notification on yours.
All right. I'll have to check it out.
No worries. Okay. So back to DNA herbs. Well, let's look up aloe. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, because he's saying, you know, hey, why not take aloe and that at the same time? It's like, I know they got all these aloe drinks, and quite frankly, I think they're kind of disgusting. And
most of them aren't that great.
Yeah.
One of the things I was learning about the cat's claw, I hadn't studied up on watercress too much. One thing I was learning about cat's claw is it's good for autoimmune disorders. And in the book it said leaky bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
Syndrome. That's obviously something you don't want.
That's where your bowels literally have holes in them, you know, and
it's leaking poisons into your body.
Yeah, you're
out of your colon.
Yeah, it ends up. You end up with fecal matter
in your blood.
Well, not even in your blood, but you know, in the spaces between your organs where you definitely should not have shit. There shouldn't be anything in the spaces between.
Except the fluids that are supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it said it was good for autoimmune disorders, any kind of colds. It was like the guy that was doing the YouTube that I was watching, he did a study in the rainforest and studied all the native tribes, and almost all of them raved about and used cat's claw as a miracle cure for just about any kind of cold or flu or, you know, whatever, just any kind of immune disorder.
Right.
It's great for the immune system. So, and that's about all I remember.
All right.
That's setting the wild natives.
Yeah. Now, you heard me say I think the aloe drinks are gross and whatever. If they've got a good flavoring, another flavoring to them, I find them much more acceptable. But that's me. And you should probably try the aloe drinks, all right? The reason I find them disgusting because they're kind of slimy and they got chunks in them usually, and that just bugs me. But it might not bug you.
Right, that's true. And yeah. If you find one that's good, let us know. We would like
right,
to know about it.
Right. You know, I'd probably like one if it was an even consistency, you know, instead of having chunks and then liquid and chunks and then liquid, you know, I'd. You know,
I like the chunky ones.
Yeah, see, Kano likes the chunky ones.
I don't like chunky women, but I like chunky aloe drinks.
Right. Okay. And I like it when they add lemon or some other, you know, flavor to it. You know, and then it's more acceptable. I can tolerate the slimy chunks, you know. All right, so here's what Rothgrinds has to say, and we'll probably end up reading this again. It's about a page worth. All right.
Oh, wow.
So aloe vera, formerly aloe barbadensis. Anyway, I probably mispronounced that, but, you know, it was formerly that anyway. Now the scientific name is aloe vera. Okay. So, is one of the most amazing miracle plants on the planet. It's so fantastic, it's like aliens put it here.
That's funny. I think he believes in aliens.
It stores for months, cut it, and it heals itself. It's a smart plant. It can tell the difference between normal cells, which it stimulates, and bad stuff like viruses, cancers, leukemia, or HIV, which it stops from spreading.
That's another thing. The other herb, watercress, was talking about curing STDs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yep. It's antiviral, antibacterial, used for candida, parasite, fatigue syndromes.
Like a parasite, I want to crawl all over you. Like a parasite, think of all the good things we can do.
Fibromyalgia, allergies, arthritis, and skin conditions like eczema and psoriasis. They spell that really funny, but anyway, psoriasis. P-S-O-R-I-A-S-I-S.
So it's an anti-parasitic we should be giving it to our pigs and goats and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it may not take care of all parasites, but hey, you know, if it does enough...
Right.
And the ones that don't cover, we can give them tobacco.
Right. Tobacco. And we put diatomaceous earth in their food, too.
Yep. It eliminates... toxic waste. It has EFAs. I'm not sure what an EFA is. I'll have to look it up. And is a powerful anti-inflammatory. It helps stomach and colon, which it helps clean. It helps every part of the body cleanse itself. Since it helps clean out the bowels really well, it greatly reduces bloating, discomfort, and helps ease stress, which only leads to more attacks of irritable bowel. Oh, okay, yeah, well, stress, yeah. I can see where it'd be very soothing for those conditions. I mean, because of its slimy, chunky nature.
True that.
I just have a hard time getting it past my tongue. All right.
I'd use it on my skin more if it wasn't so sticky.
Oh, well. I haven't finished reading this, but one plant that I've read about that I guess is supposed to be better for drawing out toxins and such is cactus, prickly pear cactus, the ones with the fruits. You rub off all the needles and the little fuzzy white hairs with, you can get yourself some pumice stone or any stone will do, but you know, pumice stone is very effective at this. You get some good sized pieces of pumice stone and you rub all the little hairs and all the little sharp spines off of the cactus leaf. And then you fillet the cactus leaf. And you scrape out all the green slime, and then you remove the little, there's like two layers of skeleton inside every leaf. And you remove those branching skeleton structures from that, and then you scrape the rest of the green stuff away from the inside of the skin. And that pulp is supposed to be real good at sucking toxins out, all right? It's supposed to be even better than aloe vera, all right? I'd be interested to find out if it had the same characteristics as aloe vera, only improved. So we'll have to read on that one later. Okay, so I was right here after irritable bowel syndrome. It's very popular for conditions like indigestion and acid reflux, IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, colitis, Crohn's disease. What is Crohn's disease?
Let's ask Google.
Google. What Crohn's. Is Crohn's disease? You didn't speak it?
What is Crohn's disease?
Here's the definition of Crohn's disease. A chronic inflammatory disease of the intestines, especially the colon and ileum, associated with ulcers and fistulae.
Okay. And it helps with ulcers. Reduces ulcers by 80%. It reduces cholesterol and triglycerides. Helps metabolize fat. And is greatly used for, where do I start? Adult diabetes, asthma, angina, blood sugar, cholesterol, acne, AIDS, anemia, arteries, athlete's foot, bad breath, hair loss, bladder infection, bronchitis, bruises, burns, bursitis, cataracts, cold sores, colic, colitis. You repeat some of these a couple of times. Consumption, cuts,
cystitis.
I'm not sure what that is. Depression, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, where you get a S curve in your spine. Bursitis. Glaucoma, and vision problems, etc. Aloe has all kinds of natural steroids, antibiotics, amino acids, minerals, enzymes, and stuff we haven't even discovered yet. Well, how would you know it's there if you haven't discovered it yet? Come on.
Right, hang on a second. What is angitis?
Angina.
Okay, it's a blood problem.
Yeah. Put it on your skin and it soaks right through into your body and bloodstream, going right to work. Oh, so I don't need to eat it. I just rub it in.
Rub it in.
All right. Speaking of skin, aloe is miracle skin stuff. It is rich in organic silicone. Oh, wow, it'd be good for your teeth then. And helps make strong cell and artery walls, mucous membranes, and the connective tissues of bones and cartilage. While working on skin cancer, hemorrhoids, and varicose veins.
There's hemorrhoids again.
Yeah.
What was it? We talked a couple weeks ago about hemorrhoids, and then what was it? The watercress. They said it was good for hemorrhoids, too.
There we go. That's a connective tissue problem. That's a connective tissue problem. So, you know, if you rebuild your tissues, you know, it only makes sense to take care of those problems.
Right. Rub it on your butt.
Rub it on your butt.
Well, it would help.
All rub aloe on your butt to relieve
hemorrhoids.
What was that you're tying on the tree? Butt knots.
Oh yeah, butt knots. Butt ties.
Butt ties, yeah.
Right.
Butt ties.
We got. What's the middle tie? What was that called?
I don't remember. But we got these knots we tie on limbs.
Well, tree trimming.
Yeah, when we're doing tree trimming, we tie these knots in various locations on the limbs, and the bottom part of the limb that you're cutting off is called a butt tie.
A butt tie.
Because it's the butt end of the limb.
Right where you're going to cut.
Okay, all right. So enough childish humor here. I lost my
place. But it makes our podcast interesting.
Okay, Marcus Rothkranz, I've got one complaint about your book.
You got more than one complaint.
Well, here's another one, all right? You printed everything on glossy paper. When I'm sitting here under this artificial light, I got two reflections on it, and I got a squint in order to see between the reflections and read the words.
And that's why you're squinting. Okay.
It's driving me nuts. I mean, if this wasn't glossy paper and just flat, you know.
You got a steering wheel in your pants?
Yeah, it's driving me nuts. Anyway. Yeah, Kano's sitting there wondering, why in the heck is he. Yeah. It's like, you know, the print's not that small. I'm squinting to see it in order to block all the double reflection of the light overhead. Okay, now where was I? Hemorrhoids and varicose veins.
Oh, varicose veins. Chickweed's good for varicose veins, too.
There we go. Okay, after being absorbed in the skin, it stimulates the fibroblast cells and causes them to regenerate themselves faster. It's the cells that produce the collagen and elastin.
I used to have varicose veins. I still got one.
So that the skin will get smoother and look younger. It stimulates lymph movement and even has aspirin-like salicylic acid. Cut off the outer skin and stick the gel in. Oh, well, okay. Yeah, all right.
My varicose veins have been replaced by chigger bites.
This is a little personal, but here it goes.
Uh-oh.
Cut off the outer skin and stick the gel in vagina for infections and irritations.
Oh, there you go. Like sticking it up your butt.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is a female thing. But anyway.
Well, you know, hemorrhoids, vaginal problems.
Yeah. Okay. There are over 400 species of aloe, but aloe vera is the one you want. The only type mentioned as toxic is aloe venenosus. VENOSA. I can't pronounce it. We're going to have to get Google to do it.
Google. And, go ahead. I'm not going to Google it. Unless you really want to.
Yeah, no, you can Google it. I spelled it for you. All right. Types known to be okay are aloe vera, aloe vulgaris, aloe socotrina.
Socotrina.
Aloe chinensis.
Chinchili, chinchili, chim-chim.
Aloe peri. How in the world do you pronounce that? P-E-R-R-Y-I.
Peri.
Yeah.
Peri.
And
like...
what do you do with the last I?
Yeah,
okay. How do you pronounce that? Okay. Some people have reactions to the latex in aloe. So test a small amount first. Taking too much over a long period of time may cause kidney problems. It cleanses out the digestive tract as well. Tract so well, it might be uncomfortable for some.
So, yeah, it's kind of like Golden Seal. You got Golden Seal is a detox. So if you detox too much, you're going to have problems.
Right.
So this cleans the system so much that it could clean you dry.
All right. So he's telling me there's a lot of plants out there in the aloe family that aren't really aloe vera. And I suspect we need to get the plants we got from donated to us, we need to get them verified which members of the family are, because we got two different types of aloe.
Okay.
And I was told both were aloe vera.
Verify them.
Clearly,
stick them up our butt.
Clearly they are not both aloe vera. So it might be that neither one of them are aloe vera. So we need to find out for sure.
Aloe vera.
And it could be they're both aloe vera because, you know, there might be different varieties of aloe vera that are still aloe vera.
Is this the agave that people are using as a sweetener?
Yeah, the agave syrup.
Yeah.
Usually it's from the blue agave, which I think is the top one there.
Okay. I heard that that's not really...
Yeah, I've also heard this not really all that good for you, but I don't have verification for it, and I guarantee that it's better than high fructose corn syrup.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to use a sweetener, you know, agave syrup is probably a lot better than some of the things you could be taking, like pure white sugar.
Right. Okay. So you don't want it on your skin. You definitely don't want it in your eyes, according to this. It'll cause skin rashes and it'll burn your eyes.
The agave syrup?
The juice from the agave.
Oh, okay. But the juice from aloe you do want on your skin.
Yes.
And might want in your eye.
All right, because it does help with cataracts.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I was thinking in terms of eating it to help with cataracts, but yeah.
We'll have to look it up.
But it's saying it absorbs right through the skin. I suppose it would also absorb right through the eye. If you're brave enough to put it in your eye.
The Cape aloe. It's good for a detox.
Yeah, I'm not recommending that you put it in your eye. I'm just saying that that's an interesting possibility. Just so you know, folks.
It might be an option.
Yeah, it might be an option. I would do some research and see if anybody else has done it. All right? And if nobody else has done it and you're the one that tries it, please don't blame me. But I definitely would like to hear the results. But I'd appreciate if you didn't do something just stupidly. I would appreciate if you did some research before you did it.
So this Cape aloe, C-A-P-E aloe, originated in South Africa, now also in Southwest United States. It's a larger, this is a much larger, more aggressive plant than the aloe vera, sometimes having stems reaching 12 feet tall.
Wow.
The leaves have bigger thorns. So it's basically just a bigger aloe, but it's got a red flower in the middle.
Well, the plants I've seen, they're called aloe, also have a red flower.
Oh, okay.
It's just not as big.
Not 12 foot tall.
No.
Has bigger thorns, holds 20 times more bitter sap, has red flower stalk, famous for its laxative properties, has fiber, stimulates peristalsis.
Yeah, I don't know.
soothes cleansing and detoxifies toxic poisons from intestinal tract, relieves inflammation. More polysaccharides, vitamins, minerals, amino acids than aloe vera. Helps stimulate white blood cell production, heals wounds, inflammation, and skin issues. Good for detoxifying old crap from bowels and body. So that buildup that you get in your bowels, it might help get rid of that.
Right, which get rid of leaky gut syndrome and things like that.
Right. Used for eczema, dermatitis, psoriasis, genital herpes, Thibora, red eyelids, helps with the gums, ulcerative chlorosis, colitis, whatever, lung cancer, low blood sugar and diabetes, tightened skin, highly antioxidant, contains aspirin-like compounds for pain relief, may cause some cramping as it works on the intestines. Do not take while pregnant. And the next topic is cactus. So, we were talking about that too. So there you go. Cape aloe and aloe vera are the two aloes you want to focus on. And I guess that's it. What is it? 11 o'clock?
Yep. It's late, folks. We got work tomorrow. We got to be up around 6:30 and out the door.
By 7:30. So, you want to talk more about aloe next week, or do you want to talk about something else like
food? Aloe would be a good one to talk about since we can actually grow it in our area. You know, it's not something you can grow outdoors in most areas, but I've seen people all the way up in Wisconsin growing aloe.
There you go.
So, or at least related plants.
We'll talk more about aloe next week on our Blog Talk Radio. And maybe even the cactus, since that's the next subject after the aloe. And the cactus is not related, but have related
benefits.
There's it says cactus, and then it has prickly pear cactus. Which prickly pear is good for diabetes.
There's lots of different varieties of prickly pear all over the place. We even have it growing in Missouri. Fortunately, our goats don't like eating it. So when they eat down everything else, the cactus is exposed, and we actually got a good clump of it in the goat yard, which I will probably take leaves from and propagate in the greenhouse over the winter. Make potted plants out of it.
Prickly pear is good for sexual diseases, too.
Yep, and I don't particularly like cactus because of their stupid spines, but, you know, my mom loved cactus, and I probably should have joined in her love of growing cactus, but...
Then you wouldn't have your STDs.
Yeah, I hope I don't have any. Who knows what I got from my ex.
You haven't been tested?
No, not since the Navy.
Come here. I get tested after every woman.
Well, Yeah, I was only with one.
I always get tested. It's free. Just go down to the, whatchamacallit, downtown here.
Right, and give you a social security number. Oh, wait a minute. I can't do that.
Oh, yeah, you don't have one.
Okay. All right. Good night, folks.
So long. Farewell. Of Hooters, Inc.